Listen. Can you guess what that was? If you guessed a balloon, you guessed correctly. I have another balloon here that I'm going to let go. Watch it as it flies around the room. There's no telling where it will land. I need a visual aid, but you're listening on a tape, so you're going to have to create the visual aid in your mind. Imagine a string stretching from where you are sitting or standing to the other side of the room. It is attached securely to the other side of the room so that when you pull on the string, it is very tight. Pull on your string. See how tight it is? Now take a straw and slip the string through the straw so that it runs back and forth along the length of the string. We're going to use some super glue to attach our balloon to the straw. We will have a balloon-powered, motorized straw when we're finished. Blow up the balloon and hold the end of the balloon so the air doesn't escape. When we let go of the balloon, it will cause the straw to fly across the room along the string. Ready, set, let it go. Wow, look at it go. Now there's a string with zing. We have just conducted two experiments with balloons. For the first experiment, we just let a balloon go, and for the second experiment, we let the balloon go along a string clear across the room. The first balloon flew just about everywhere and anywhere. There was no telling before we let go of the balloon where it was going to land. However, when we attached the balloon to a string that stretched across the room, we knew exactly where the balloon was going to land. Earlier, we said that the balloon had zing as it sailed across the string. Zing is speed and direction. What is zing? I didn't hear you. Let me ask again. Okay, everyone out in tape land, what is zing?
Speed and direction!
That's right. Zing is speed and direction. As you have listened to these tapes over the weeks and months, you have learned several practice tips that have enabled you to learn faster in your piano study as you followed them. If I told you of another tip that would help you practice, would you be interested? One that would help you learn more in less time? One that would give you more time to learn other pieces, play basketball, or anything else you may want to do? This tip is called goal setting. Goal setting as you practice will add zing to your practice and your life. Now, what was zing?
Speed and direction!
That's right. Setting goals will give speed and direction to your practice. Perhaps the importance of setting goals was illustrated better by the Cheshire Cat in the book Alice in Wonderland. As you recall, Alice was lost. She was wandering down a road when the road suddenly split in two directions. Pausing for a moment in her journey, she looked up and saw a large cat with a big grin on its face. This was called a Cheshire Cat. Alice looked at the cat and asked, "Cheshire Cat, would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat replied, "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to." "I don't care much where." "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." Like our first balloon, and like Alice, if we have no zing, no goals, there is very little progress. There's very little speed, and no direction. Now, I have seen a lot of different people practice in my lifetime. I'm going to describe two types of practicing students. Tell me which student that I describe sounds most like you. Student number one, we will call On Time Every Time Ted. Ted gets his practicing done every day, all 45 minutes of it. While he is practicing, his mind wanders to this and that, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that he is supposed to practice every day, and so he does it. His pieces gradually get better, sometimes, and sometimes they even show a little improvement. But again, it doesn't matter if they get much better. What matters is that on time every time Ted puts in his time faithfully every day. And so every day he goes to the piano and plays his pieces through a certain number of times. To illustrate how ridiculous this type of practicing is, let me give you an example. The objective in football is to get the ball past the goal line more times than the opposing team. The goal in baseball is to have more men tag all four bases than the opposing team. Can you imagine a baseball team without a goal? The player is up to bat. The pitcher throws the ball. The batter swings and hits the ball out of the park. The batter drops his bat, runs towards first base. The crowds cheer and go wild in the stands. After touching first base, he runs straight for the left fielder, has a brief conversation, and then runs straight to the dugout to sit down with his teammates. Sounds silly, doesn't it? He never even touched home base. In fact, the only base he touched was first. And yet, that is the way a few students practice. Without goals, without thinking specifically what they are going to fix that day on their pieces. And it is just as silly to play baseball without heading for home base as it is to practice having no specific idea as to what you are going to accomplish that day when you practice. Now, the second student we will call Zach Zing. Now, with a name like that, you probably know how he is practicing differently than on time, every time Ted. Zach Zing is just about your age, and just about as good looking as you are, too. Zach Zing gets to the piano every day, just like on time, every time Ted. But Zach Zing doesn't just play through his pieces without thinking about them. Zach Zing looks at each piece he starts, and before playing it that day, he decides on some goals. Zach Zing decides on some home bases. Zach Zing scores a lot of touchdowns. Zach Zing works hard to accomplish his practice goals each day. When he finishes practicing, he feels great about what he has done. If you were to ask him what he did to improve his pieces that day, he could tell you exactly what he did to improve his pieces. Now, which of the two players are you most like? On time, every time, Ted, or Zach, go for the gold, Zing? I hope that you're like Zach, go for the gold, Zing. Which would you like to be like? Which of the two do you think are headed for success in life and all that they do? Let's analyze the way Zach practiced so we can duplicate his practice style and the fabulous progress he makes. Step 1. When you sit down at the piano to practice, look at your first piece. Now, if you're practicing 1/4, you will play through the first section one time. If it was perfect, you would go on to the next section. If it wasn't perfect, then you would take a moment before you played it through 4 more times and do some goal setting. Go to the end of the track and draw a finish line. Tell yourself something like this: "Wow, my fingering was pretty bad in the third measure. By the time I finish playing this section 4 more times, I'm going to have that fingering down so I can play it comfortably." If at the end of playing it 4 more times, you have succeeded in conquering that fingering problem, then you have crossed the finish line. You've touched home base. You've scored a touchdown. With that victory, you're ready to go on to the next section and repeat the process. Play it through once. After playing it, determine the problems. Set a goal to have that certain problem fixed forever by the time you finish playing it through 4 more times, and then do it. Thus far, we have discussed what a goal is and how it puts Zing,
speed and direction,
into your practice for great results. We have also discussed what a time waster it is just to put in your time each day by playing your pieces over and over without thought as to how to improve the piece, like on time, every time, Ted. We want to be like Zach Zing, Setting goals as you practice your pieces will bring about good, steady improvement. Let me say that again. Setting goals as you practice your pieces will bring about good, steady improvement. Setting goals as you practice is smart. If doing it once is smart, though, then doing twice is going to be even more effective for you. Setting your daily practice goals is important, but it will also help speed your progress if you set weekly goals. For example, before you leave your lesson, or the first time you practice after your lesson, you should sit down with your notebook and set a goal for each piece as to when you will have it ready to pass off. For example, if I had 3 pieces to learn for the week, Cowboy Blues, Juanita, and German Dance, I would look at them and set a goal for each. I would take Cowboy Blues and say to myself, this piece has 2 pages, but it repeats itself a lot. I'll bet I could have it learned and ready to pass off in 3 days. Then I would look at Juanita and say, this piece is only 1 page long, but the right hand skips around a lot, and the left hand has an accompaniment figure that I've never done before. This one will probably take me at least 5 days. Then I would look at my third and final piece and say, we went over this piece twice during my lesson, but that middle section is still giving me fits. If I set careful daily goals, I should have this one down in 4 days. After you set the weekly goals, write your goal at the top of the piece or in your notebook. If your goal was to have it learned in 3 days, then write 3 days at the top of the piece. If your goal was for 2 days, then write 2 days at the top of the piece. Next to your goal, draw a box. This is your victory box. When you accomplish your goal and you have learned Cowboy Blues in 3 days, then reward yourself by putting an X in the victory box. Then your teacher will see what an incredible person you are and what an incredible job you did. Your teacher and you will see that you are the type of person that can keep commitments to yourself. You will see that you are a Zach Zing that's going someplace neat in life, not at all like time-wasting Ted. Occasionally, a student will ask if they should set their goals high or low. By high, I mean setting a goal that makes them really wonder if they're going to make it or not. By low, I mean setting a goal that's so easy that you couldn't possibly miss it. So in answer to the question as to whether they should set their goals high or low, I tell them that it is important that they set goals that they really believe they can accomplish. But they should also set goals that will challenge them to do better than they have in the past. Goals that will force them to concentrate more, to learn faster. Goals that will help them be more honest and caring about their pieces. I tell them to set goals that are believable, but you'll get a lot further by shooting for the stars and landing on the moon than to shoot for the trees and make it. So if you're going to miss a goal, it's much better, I feel, to overshoot than it is to undershoot. And you can always reset the goal if you don't make it. You have seen how daily goals can help add zing,
speed and direction,
to your practice. You have also seen how weekly goals can add zing to your practice. Now, if you want to progress even faster, then there is still another way. Can you guess what it is? If you guessed long-term goals, you're correct. Every time you get a new piano lesson book, sit down with your teacher and ask her advice on what kind of goal you should set for your piano lesson book. Your teacher will help you determine how well you have worked in the past and help you set a goal for this new book. The goal may be to pass off the book in 12 weeks or 15 weeks or whatever. Once again, it doesn't matter so much what goal you set as long as it makes you stretch and is believable to you and you want to do it. Not your teacher, not your mom. It must be your own goal. I think the best part about goals is the rewards that come with them. You should reward yourself for them. The type of reward depends on you. For your daily and weekly goals, you may want to reward yourself by getting to play basketball outside for 40 or 45 minutes, or reward yourself by calling Jenny on the telephone, or be happy with reward that you are playing your pieces better. For the book goals or long-range goals, you may want to involve your parents. You could say to them, "Hey, Dad, I've been learning to set goals in my piano lessons," and he'll be pleased. Then you can say, "I have set a goal to have this new book passed off in 12 weeks. Now, that's a very challenging goal. I need a reward to help me keep motivated. If I make my goal, would you go bowling with me or play a game of tennis at the school tennis courts or go to a movie with me?" To reward yourself for a job well done and an achieved goal will help give you momentum to setting even more goals that will cause you to stretch and improve even more and progress even faster. But of course, the greatest reward is the fact that you received what you set out to achieve. Before we conclude our discussion on setting goals, I would like to briefly review with you the important steps to setting a goal that we have discussed. Number one, the goals you set must be yours. You must be the one that desires the progress. You must be the one that desires the time saved from more efficient practice. Hence, the importance of rewards. Number two, set goals that make you stretch. But remember, if you set a goal so high that you don't believe you can achieve it, then you most likely will not achieve it. Set high goals, but set goals that you believe in. 3. Write your goal down. As the saying goes, a goal not written is only a wish. Your daily goals are set and achieved so rapidly that there is little sense in writing that one down, but your weekly goals should be written down at the top of each piece or in your piano notebook. Your long-range goals should be written at the very last page of your piano book. 4. Reward yourself for the goals you keep. This will help create and fuel the desire to set and achieve even more goals. If you haven't been setting goals already, start today. Set a goal for every piece that you are working on. Set a goal for when you will be out of the piano books you are presently working in. Setting goals will not only add speed and direction, zing, to your practice, but it will also help add enjoyment to your practice. You'll see yourself progress more rapidly. You may ask, what's the rush? Why rapidly? I'll tell you. Being a beginning pianist can be a lot of fun. Being an intermediate pianist can be a lot of fun. But the real joy and thrill of playing the piano comes to those who work hard and set goals to be a good, advanced pianist. To sit down and spend an evening with Bach or Chopin or Brahms with one of their best and most wonderful and ingenious works is a spiritual thrill, a natural high. Who needs drugs when you can play the piano? What a thrill! Set a goal. Work hard to become an advanced pianist. It is worth all the hours of tedious practice. Go as far as your teacher can take you, and she will be thrilled too. On the vision tape, we learned that the child is father of the man. It's exciting to think of how successful you will be in your life as you learn to set goals in all of the areas of your life. Set goals in your schoolwork. Set goals for the other things you want to accomplish in your life. The same principles you use to set goals in your piano studies are the same principles that you will use to set goals in your life. Decide now. You will be a goal setter. You will be successful. On the vision tape, we learned the importance of listening to good piano music. For if we don't know what excellent piano playing sounds like, then how do we know what we should work for? It's like the baseball player who didn't know where home plate was when he went up to bat. Since listening to good piano music is so important, we're going to use the balance of this tape to share with you some piano music that you'll probably be playing someday. This piano music is from the Anna Magdalena Bach notebook. Johann Sebastian Bach is one of the greatest composers to have ever lived. He lived and worked in Germany during the 1700s. He had, now get this, he had 20 children. Now that is a large family. They didn't have TV to watch at night in those days, but what the Bach family did have was lots of musical instruments and lots of talent. Johann Sebastian Bach bought a lovely notebook for his wife, Anna Magdalena, on the occasion of her birthday. She probably had no idea that that little notebook would someday become very famous and make her famous too. When someone in the family composed a piece, they would first open the notebook, write the lines, because you couldn't buy manuscript paper in those days, so they had to write the music lines, and they would write the music piece in the book. The Anna Magdalena Bach's notebook, the birthday book. Then they could play the pieces over and over for fun at night when all the day's work was done. Some of the loveliest of the Bach family's music is found in this notebook. It's delightful. Much of it is not too difficult to play. If you've never heard these pieces, you're in for a real treat. If you have, or you've studied them before, you'll enjoy it too. Listen now as several of these Bach family pieces are played, and we'll conclude with a prelude from his Well-Tempered Clavier book. If you haven't already studied these pieces, you will probably be playing them sometime soon, even sooner, if you'll learn to set goals and keep them.